It's a way to start. Welcome to Intentional Living. We're talking about money today and how to be intentional with it. On the way into the studio, literally from my car into the studio, I opened my wallet to see, and it was empty. The cupboard was bare. And that's probably pretty intentional today. People seem, we use credit, we use cards, we use this and other things. And sometimes that can be a real problem. And we've chosen our family to be very intentional with our finances, knowing it's a gift from God. And today we're going to experience some peace and freedom. You're going to get some help today in the next 28 minutes that could revolutionize where you are emotionally and start the path today to change your financial destiny. And for God's glory, and certainly for the benefit of you and those that you love. And I'm not going to help you do this all by myself. We've invited back our Intentional Living financial coach and friend, Parkey Thompson from Georgia, joining us today. How you doing, Parkey?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back with you.
Appreciate it. We got call. By the way, I'm going to open the phone lines. If you have a question, maybe something you're facing and you're trying to make a decision, you'd like some input from someone who deals and coaches with hundreds of people on finance, you can call. Or you can call and just tell us one thing you've been doing that's maybe made a change in your life intentionally with money you want to pass along to others. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. And Parkey, you know, everything is costing more than it did just a few months ago. You notice it especially when you try to fill up your car with gasoline. That's one example, but it happens in the grocery store and everywhere. What are you hearing in the people you're talking to and coaching and helping when it comes to what's going on with the economy today?
Well, to your point, it's not just the fuel prices themselves at the pump, but all those products we buy, whether we go to whatever retailer it may be, they're being affected by those gas prices as well. Those prices are being passed down. If you're traveling, not only at the fuel pump, but the airlines, everyone's being affected. What I'm hearing from everyone and what I'm coaching everyone, you need to step back. You need to reallocate at this time to really look and see, quite frankly, what's most important. We've got to make sure that we've got fuel in the tank to get us to work so we can continue to provide the income that we need as well. But, you know, for summertime, springtime anyway, summertime getting close, the frivolous driving that maybe we've done in the past, we've just got to really look at that and just see where we need to be spending our money. We're being told by our leaders that this is not going to last forever, and hopefully it's not. Hopefully there's a peaceful resolution to this. But for anybody suffering through this, any time, you know, it's dragging on, it's a much longer time than what they needed or anticipated.
Yeah. Well, you know, as Christian people, followers of Christ, and many of our listeners, that's who we are. That's why we join in with this community and listen and be a part of Intentional Living. How ought we look at money in general, maybe differently than what we see in the world today? Every channel, every influencer, everything you hear today is trying to sell you something, get you to do something, what have you. How ought we look at money differently than maybe others, even in our own neighborhoods?
Everybody's wanting your dollar, and that's what makes them profitable. If you will give up that dollar or dollars more often than in plural. And as I teach my clients, you know, you've got to learn to do what Nancy Reagan told us some 40 years ago, and that is just say no. Build a plan. Have a plan. It's never going to be perfect, but to the extent that you're trying to meet goals and objectives, build your plan around that with the money that you have, stick to that and say no. There's always an opportunity to, you know, take advantage of those things somewhere down the road, but everybody else wants your number right now. They want that dollar that you're making in their pocket. And for those people who, for lack of better words, are not disciplined, maybe a little bit weaker in saying no, a lot of people are going to give that. You know, some of the things that I've seen here recently with my clients, with other people that I've talked to just on the street, a lot of things that are going on right now are affecting them. But if you really look at what the bottom line is, for a good number of people, they're carrying an excessive amount of debt. Mm-hmm. If they didn't have those credit card bills, if they didn't have those car payments, if they didn't have the huge house payment, maybe a second house payment, maybe a second mortgage, all this stuff that's going on would be something that's least impactful. I've got a client who lives in upstate New York in his 70s, and this stuff just makes him mad because he doesn't have any debt. He doesn't have anything to worry about there. So they're just taking money out of his pocket that he could have to be doing something else that he wants to do, as opposed to what he needs to do, putting food on the table, making a house payment, and so forth. It's really your bottom line perspective of how this may be impacting you.
All right. You're welcome to join us. You have a question, maybe you have a comment. We're talking money today, how to be intentional. You know, the Bible says to us very clearly that we're to be stewards, which is a word you don't hear. You don't hear that on the CNBC channels and all the other kinds of talking heads about money, but we're to be a steward, which is kind of a, what does that word mean? It means that we're not owners of this. God provides it for us. It flows through our hands, and how we manage it, that's really what we're talking about, is a powerful thing. All right, let's go to live calls here. I've got a caller coming in from Arizona. Hi, Nicholas. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. How are you being intentional with money, or what's your question?
My question is, because God had to humble me with finances lately, I'm on a very low budget, or very low income budget. I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to save money so I can actually build a savings.
Yeah. Do you have
and
any?
I'm basically down to doing.
Do you have any savings now?
Go ahead. No, because every time I do, it has to go to some emergency that I have to use it for.
Yeah. All right. Well, getting started,
that's difficult.
Yeah.
5 months ago.
So are you working now, Nicholas?
Yeah, I'm doing DoorDash at the moment. And I'm delivering food, but it seems like between spending money on gas and I can't really play catch up too much. It's like I'm able to pay my rent and then that's about
it. Yeah. So it is really paycheck to paycheck, week to week is what you're experiencing. So the question, Parky, where do you get started when you really don't have the, you know, hey, the income isn't there to think you can get started?
Absolutely. Nicholas, did I hear you say you were homeless just a few months ago?
Yeah, about four or 5 months ago now. He's providing, but it's tough.
There you go. He's providing. He will provide a way. I'm thankful to hear that you're no longer homeless and that you are making a path for that. Clearly, the door dashing is not a career that you want. Mm-hmm. And so my encouragement to you is obviously work as much as you can. It's going to cost you in the DoorDash because it's right back to what we were talking about a minute ago with the fuel and so forth. But to the extent that you can stay on your feet, stay out of that situation that you were in the past, is there another opportunity that you can continue to expand on the days and time that you're not doing DoorDash that you might get some more income? Here's what typically happens to people as they get more income. They tend to spend more. And so what I'm encouraging you to do is develop a written plan that says, here's the amount of money that I need this month to be able, to your point, be able to make the rent, be able to buy food, do the things that are necessity in life, and see what you can do to build that more, whether it's more hours with DoorDash or whether it's something else that you can add on the side. You know, a lot of my good firemen friends, you know, not necessarily you in that category with income, but they typically work 24 hours and are all 48, and they have a side gig that's actually, sometimes side gigs that help supplement, because unfortunately in our country, we don't pay those people enough for the services that they provide, and so they have to do that. I know it's tough, but the one thing I want you to keep in mind, which you said up front, 4 or 5 months ago, I was homeless. God brought me out of that. And I would ask you to continue to bathe that in prayer, continue to ask him to provide. But at the same time, you be disciplined and diligent with what he does give you so that you can continue to grow and focus that budget. How much can I put aside in savings? Because typically those emergencies that you're talking about are emergencies because we weren't prepared for them.
Yeah. Let me add too, Nicholas, that you sound like a hard worker. You sound like a guy who says, hey, I just don't want to lose. I want to win. I want to be on the side that's where God is being blessed and honored in my life. I'd encourage you, if you're not, get plugged into a church, get plugged in with other guys and other people, network. There might be some opportunities. Obviously you have skills of some sort. I mean, you have skills enough to say, I can go out and do DoorDash and I can be responsible and I can get these things done. Many times we have people around us that we can connect with who are looking for help, looking for kinds of things that you can do that would provide for you in a better way, in a stronger way, in a more consistent way. So networking is a really important part of the process for you, Nicholas. I hope that helps. All right, let me go live. Yeah, go right ahead.
You added something there. Sometimes that networking, those contacts that he meets when he delivers that stuff for DoorDash, are some of the people that need to know what he's able to do and what he's doing to better himself. So, you know, you don't want to necessarily share your whole life with him when you get there, but when you're at, share that. You're looking to build those relationships because somebody there,
that's right,
God may be using to build what you're looking for.
Yeah, we need each other. And if you have skills, people need people with skills. And so take advantage of that. Tricia is in Texas. Got you on the line live here from Texas. How are you, Tricia?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. What's going on? How can we help?
So I'm trying to, I guess, get brave enough to start tithing. It's something that I want to do, but I've been a single mom of six, and it's been not an easy journey.
No, I even imagine.
Just graduated from college with my bachelor's degree in hopes of getting a better career.
Terrific.
In order to provide a better life for my kids. And so, you know, I work a full-time job. I do all the mom stuff between the extracurricular activities with them. And I just worry that I'm barely making it now with what I do have, and I do contribute everything on how I make it, because I do have people ask me, like, I don't know how you do it with that many kids, like how you're, you know, buying groceries and feeding them, and I contribute everything, like, I can only say God.
Amen.
And I want to also be able to put into practice being able to tithe, and that fear still of, like, God, you barely help me make it with what I do have. I'm like, if I give that extra $300, $200, whatever it is, like, am I going to be able to make it? And that fear just, it sits with me, and I don't know how to get over that.
Well, a couple things, Tricia. Congratulations. You're hardworking, single mom. That's tough. Can't think of anything more difficult than you add six kids to being a single, you know, mom. That's not one, that's six. That's a lot of responsibility. You went to school, got a degree. Congratulations. What was your degree in? What would you like to do with it?
Well, I got a degree in management so that I could work for organizations like CASA or Buckner's. I actually applied to work for them before I decided to go to school, and they told me they would not accept me without a degree. And that was my whole purpose of going back, so that I could help other kids in other situations.
Amen. Well, good for you.
And, still trying to get my foot in that door, but right now I'm working a normal 8 to 5 Monday through Friday job to be able just to provide for
Amen.
My kids.
And listen, you are doing a great job. You know, God is no respecter of persons, and the Bible says very clearly he looks at the heart where people look at the external. He knows your heart. And when I hear someone call, and we get this quite often, people say, hey, I want to be more faithful in tithing and so on. And I think we all know this. God is not a bookkeeper. He's not sitting in heaven keeping an account. Our tithing is really a reflection of our love for God and trust in God. And it's a process that, frankly, I've told people over the years, sometimes you got to start with 1% and just say, I'm going to trust God for 1%, and I'm going to take one step at a time. But listen, God is not the author of fear. The Bible says, and then I'll turn it to Parky, I'll give you my 30-second message. The Bible is very clear that God is not the author of fear. In fact, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and then the peace will come. If you're living in that fear corner with this, just I'd encourage you as a brother in Christ, Tricia, no, that's not from God. And faith is sometimes one step at a time. What do you think, Parky? I'm sure you hear this a lot as well.
A lot of people who want to be faithful, they want to be the good steward, which is part of that giving of the tithe back to the one who's given to us. And I would tell you that one of the things you mentioned there, Tricia, was the fact that you were turned down in some of those positions that you wanted because you didn't have that degree.
Yeah.
But yet you became intentional.
Right.
You became intentional, went out and got that degree, and now here you are. Now you're wanting to make some money. And I want you to listen to me carefully. Don't just stop listening here. But quite frankly, God doesn't need your tithe. He owns it all. He doesn't need it. What he's looking for you is to be faithful. He's looking for you to be obedient. He's looking for you to be dependent upon him. And Dr. Carlson's point there of starting at 1%, you may only be able to, you know, to start at a dollar. But again, showing that, giving that, teaching yourself that he is faithful. He will take care of me. And at the same time, bathing that in prayer, begging God, I want to do more. I want to get to where I need to. But he knows your circumstances. Mm-hmm. He knows what it's like to raise six kids. He knows what it's like in the economy that we're in today. He knows that that income that's not where you want it to be and so forth. And I do believe that he will open the doors. I've had clients in the past that they've had to stop back and say, and I've teased them in many cases that they want to tithe. And I'm like, well, you're not even tipping. How can you tithe? And the fact is we need to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. That small grain of mustard seed that he talks about there in the New Testament. We've got to start somewhere with our faith. If we just got a little bit, he's going to grow that. But again, like I told the previous caller, when he does bless, that doesn't mean we go buy a new outfit. That means we show him that we are dependent upon him and we are faithful to be able to do as he continues to bless us. I will say this, I've got a very good friend who's a multimillionaire. When I started my business, we sat down on the back of a napkin. He laid out to me these, some of these things, and he mentioned to me at one point, he said, I don't even tithe anymore. And that's why I said, listen to me, because I stopped listening at that point. I'm like, I kind of lost respect for him until he went on to say, you know, that tithing thing was a long time ago. God has blessed me so much. I'm just a giver now, way beyond the tithing. And I believe God can take you there as well if you allow him to do it.
And it may not be today, tomorrow, next month, but it's a step at a time. And you could look back on a day like today calling and saying, hey, you know, I'm able to do more than I could ever imagine. But you take it one step at a time with faith. But don't allow fear to rule you, Tricia. Satan will use that against you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does that help? Does that encourage you?
That does. That is very encouraging that I feel like I'm not failing because I can't give the full 10%.
Mm.
That's very helpful.
You're very welcome, Tricia. And many people are in that same boat. But, you know, Parky said something important. We also have to be responsible. Tricia, you're responsible. Six kids, single mom, getting an education, growing. If you had called and said, hey, we've got tons of money and we're doing all these different things and buying things and we can't agree to tithe, then we might give you a little spiritual push in the backside to say, hey, let's go. But you're saying, hey, this is my heart. God, he knows your heart. He reads your heart. And take those baby steps one thing at a time and see what God can do. We'll be right back. You're welcome to join us. Parky Thompson's here, Intentional Living Financial Coach, with us today on Intentional Living. You can join in with your question or your comment at 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There's a scripture in the book of Psalms, the first words out of the psalmist's mouth, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that sets the stage where the psalmist tells us, for those who are obedient to God's word, those of us who find ourselves in connection with God, he says, they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper or thrive. Can't you picture it? A tree with its roots deep alongside of a beautiful river, just absorbing all that water and growing. Nice place to be. Indeed. Dr. Randy here, along with Parky Thompson. We're talking money today. By the way, that's an excerpt from a teaching. I need to tell you that, don't I? And it's for our members, those of you who are supporting the ministry. And listen, some of you can't, and I get it. And we're not going to badger or beat you up with that, because God will continue to bless. But for those of you who can, and God's blessed you, and you're in a position where you could say, hey, we want to help this message of living intentionally in every area of life for Jesus Christ, including coming to Him personally to be reached out around the world through the podcast and the radio program, you all are invited to come and join us today. We need your help. How do you do that? You can call 888-888-1717, press number 2, talk to our staff here, our team, or go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right, Parkey Thompson, financial coach, you had a moment where you had to have an intentional discussion with yourself as well, didn't you? What's your journey on this living intentionally with finances that brought you to where you are today?
Well, I think it goes back to our first caller there. Forget his actual name, but Nicholas from Arizona. Yes. And he talked about he had a deal with humility at one point. And that was us back in 2003. You know, I was college educated. I knew 2 + 2 = 4 and not 8. But I wanted to get to that 8. We knew that. We were living life large. I had a wife and 3 kids, a mortgage, you know, all that stuff, about $40,000, almost $40,000 in credit card debt, and realized, hey, we need to make a change. But I'm like, how do you do that? I mean, how do you really give up 250 cable channels, even though you can only watch one at a time? How do you do this kind of stuff? And it was tough decisions because we didn't want to do it. And then I lost my job. Lost my job on Monday, November the 17th. And fortunately, I had enough sense about me, some education, to realize, you know, things are slim. We need to be on a plan. And as a result, got on that. And over the next several months, got very aggressive on it. Fast forward to the year 2007. We paid off all the debt, including the mortgage, and haven't had any debt in that period of time. I want to say that's about 19 years come September. That was the point. But it's just a matter of understanding where you're at, making a decision that you've got to do something differently, and becoming intentional.
Yeah, I call that an oh no moment in life. That's really what it is. And I hear a lot of discussion about money on different talk shows and things. And it's interesting. It's captivating. I'm sure you have people listening today because you just like to listen in to hear other people's pain and sorrow, or you want to learn some things yourself. Like, come on, that we're human beings. But I'll tell you what, I don't think many of us will get to a place of change in our life seriously unless we have an oh no moment, a moment where we recognize something's got to change. That happened for you, and it's happened for many of the people we're talking to. And maybe today, this is your oh no moment today. But I think there's hope. Yep. It's not the end, it's the beginning. It's the first step to be intentional. And take some positive steps. Let me ask you this before I get to a caller. I only got about 4 minutes left in the show today, but we'll carry on and record for another day. But what does a person do that's had an oh no moment today? They're listening and they are just completely slammed when it comes to this thing about money. They don't even know where to begin. What are some basic steps they need to take?
Well, I would tell you, stop doing everything that you're currently doing and focus on the necessities. You know, you have to produce an income. You've got to have food on your table. You've got to have a roof over your head. You've got to have transportation to be able to continue those things. Everything else that you're doing, stop it. I mean, I just heard one day last week, I think it was, that one of the new movies out had made $43 million that weekend. Well, who paid for that? The people who pay to go to the theaters. If you're doing that and that's a piece of your consumption, I just gave you the example of me and 250 cable channels. When I lost my job, the very first thing that we cut was the cable to be able to, because you have to survive. Stop doing some of that stuff. You can always go back to it. Stop doing it and begin to develop a written plan. We are making husbands and wives working together to do this. One of you can't do it alone. Single person, I would encourage you to have an accountability partner, somebody that's going to hold you to do those things that you need to do. Lay out that income and lay out exactly what we're going to do with it. To the point of Nicholas, how do I save? Get to a point where you're saving in that plan, putting some of that money away, taking care of the things that you have to do, and focus on the things that are coming up, becoming intentional and disciplined with what you're blessed with to be able to make sure that you're managing your money appropriately.
Yeah, if that were me and we had no oh no moment, I would, first of all, I want to know what's the oh no involved? You know, what's there? Get it laid on a piece of paper. What are all the things that you're spending now? I mean, get the checkbook out or the credit card registry or whatever you're doing online. We know that a lot of people, like you said, may have subscriptions to online channels. They don't even know they're being paid every month. A lot of things just automatically become auto pay. Get a handle on everything. Get everything down so you see exactly what's going out the door. And I bet you're going to be surprised. In fact, the research shows that people are surprised when they see what is going out the door compared to what's coming in the door. That's important. And then maybe there are things in your life getting really down to the basics. Maybe you're saying, hey, I got stuff in the garage, in the house, in storage, things that we don't need. We could get rid of, turn those assets into cash, and then start the process to pay off some of those debts, credit cards, and other things. But until you get intentional is this. There's two things about intentional living. The first is an inside job. You've got to deal with what's going on in your thinking, your heart, your decision, your mind. Biblically, that's kind of the first half of the book of Ephesians, for those of you who want to read that, who we are in Christ. And then the second half of Ephesians really focuses now, hey, how am I going to behave with my kids, with my job, with my spouse? And I would add with your finances. And there's the daily intentional action to say things are going to be different moving forward than they have been in the past. But it comes down to making a decision. My wife and I did many years ago, and we followed that plan. And here we are today thanking God for it. It's been a blessing in our life. I'll tell you what, we got some calls coming up. We're out of time. Parky, if you can hang on, we're going to just stay right here in the studio and record for a show that's going to air on coming up on Memorial Day this next Monday. So are you available to hang in here with us?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. And hang on, April. We'll get to your call first on that recording in a moment. Hey, if you want to join in, you're welcome to call. This is the time to do it at 888-888-1717. We love you guys. We know that one of the most essential areas of life, spoken about in Scripture, perhaps more than any other topic, is things about, Scripture about money, about possessions, about priorities. And so we want to give you an intentional, biblical perspective on how to do this in a way that will honor God. And frankly, the trickle-down benefit to you and your family can be huge. But if you're in the middle of that oh no moment, or maybe just today an aha moment, I hope that you'll listen in as we air part two next Monday. Your comments are welcome, 888-888-1717, or your questions right now. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Teresita and Stephen, and we'll see you all next time right here from Intentional Living.